Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for gathering Thy people before Thee, together we witness for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank Thee for the wonderful story of Thy love by sending the Lord Jesus Christ to come to die for our sins, and He was buried and He rose again from the dead. Appeared to His disciples for 40 days before He ascended to heaven, sitting at Thy right hand side. We pray that Thou may help us to continue to witness for this good news. We pray that Thou may enable Thy people so that we were able to win some for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for those who are sick and weak. Pray that Thou may enable us to look unto Thee, knowing that our sufficiency is from Thee. We pray for those who are very young. Pray that Thou may guide them in Thy way. Pray for those who are still in school. Pray that Thou may bless them with wisdom in their learning. Pray for those who are working. Pray that Thou may grant them wisdom to witness for Thee in their respective calling in life. Pray for those who are lonely, those who are helpless. Pray that Thou may minister to them. And pray for those who are wandering. Pray that Thou may save them from lostness. We pray that Thou may continue to guide us with Thy word and help us to continue to be persistent in learning from Thy word daily. And help us to gather with Thy people in the fellowship, in the church worship. Pray for those who away, pray that I may be with them and watch over them and bring them back safely. Remembering Thy work in Hippo, in Mary, pray that I may bless Thy servants there as a witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray for the rulers. Pray for those who are in power. Pray for those who sit on the bench of the judiciary. Pray for those who in the parliament, state assembly. Pray that Thou may help all these Thy servants to fear Thee, knowing that Thou art ruling over the affairs of men through them. May Thou help those who are for the welfare of the people to come into power in the state elections. We pray that I may oppose the power of darkness in this land. Pray for peace, continual peace in the Middle East. Pray that I may protect the innocents and help those who are in power to restrain from using violence in achieving their aims. We commit Thy work over here unto Thy loving hands. May Thou be with us and help us, remembering the rezoning of the land especially. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us turn to the final verses of the Gospel of Mark. After Matthew is the Gospel of Mark, is the Gospel of the servant. It talks about the servanthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of Man came on earth not to be served, but to serve. This is the key verse. And gave His life a ransom for many. Today the topic is the call to preach the gospel. The call to preach the gospel. Jesus Christ died for our sin and He rose again from death after 3 days. Physically, He's not fainted and then woke up sometime later. The gospel, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is good story, is good news. Amen, to be believed and our behavior will be changed. Amen, to be trusted and transforms our lives. So how do we respond to this good news? We look at verse 14, the reason for the apostolic faith. Our faith is patterned after the apostles of Jesus Christ. They are the pillars. And we are following the apostle in the biblical faith. When we look at Mark chapter 16, verse 9 to 11, we see that Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, that is Sunday. He appeared first to one of his followers, Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and he saw the stone that covered the tomb was rolled away. And he could not find the body of Jesus. When Mary was in the garden tomb, in the garden nearby, weeping after saw the empty tomb, he did not know who had removed the body of Jesus. He did not see the body of Jesus. Then he saw a man. She mistaken him as the gardener. Then she asked him where they have taken the body of her Lord, like the non-believers. They thought someone had removed the body somehow. At that time, the Lord called her name and she knew He is Jesus Christ. She immediately fell and worshipped Him, and the Lord has cast out 7 demons from her before. And the Lord has saved her, and she believed in the Lord, and she was saved. And that was the first appearance of Jesus to one of His followers. You learn one thing, the Lord Jesus Christ did not appear to the non-believers. He did not appear to those who do not follow Him, do not believe in Him. Mary ran and told other disciples, Jesus is alive, and appeared to her, but they would not trust a witness. And that was a custom in those days. They do not trust the witness of a woman. And then the Lord was very patient with them. He chose to appear to another 2 disciples, according to verses 12 to 13, and this is the same appearance as recorded in Luke 24. That is when the 2 disciples were so sad, they were walking back to the village 11 miles away from Jerusalem, to this place called Emmaus. When the Lord appeared to them, they could not recognize Him. They were so sad. They were busy talking about what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. They have crucified Him. And there's the sad ending of the story. That is the sad ending of the Messiah whom they have trusted. That is the sad ending that caused them to be in despair. They were so sad. Like just after the funeral, people were so sad. People think about the deceased. Remember the fond, precious time they were together. And 3 of them have a long chat during which the Lord showed them many Old Testament passages that refer to Messiah. Of course, the 2 disciples knew, being the Jews, they have learned the law, they have learned Moses, they have learned the prophets since year 12. But somehow all these things did not appeal to them. Even the Lord have mentioned Many times before he was arrested, he suffered and he was crucified, that the Lord have talked about his death and his resurrection. But none of them pick it up. None of them realize. So this is something that we do not understand. We thought once information is being passed, people will understand. No. It takes a long time for people to appreciate the truth if the people harden in their hearts. Even though the Lord Jesus have mentioned to his disciples many times, it was only this time they begin to understand. It's something like the adults teaching the children. I've been teaching you this all this while for many years, but somehow it didn't get into you, you see. So we need to pray for patience and we need to pray for God's illumination as we impart the truth. It's not easy. It's not so simple. At the end of the journey, as they ate together, then suddenly they recognized him. Their eyes were open and Jesus disappeared immediately. Then these two disciples went and tell the 11 apostles, but again the apostles did not trust their witness. Maybe they think, oh, because you're so sad, suddenly you saw the image. You know? Sometimes people may have this kind of experience. So they do not trust the two witnesses altogether, plus Mary Magdalene altogether, three witnesses. According to Deuteronomy chapter 19, when you have two or more witnesses, two or three, the witness shall be established. They should believe. They should remember what the Lord has taught them before. But they do not. They were so sad, continue to weep. Then Jesus took a direct method. Look at verse 14. He appeared to them. Now, he has to rebuke the stubborn unbelief of his followers after the resurrection. They were so stubborn. Yes, they read the scriptures, yet they are so stubborn. Yes, they have been with the Lord for 3.5 years, yet they are so stubborn. Yes, they have been very close to the Lord, yet they are so stubborn in their unbelief. And this is the resistance which even the Lord meet in teaching the truth. He had told them many times before, but they have no reason, and they have no reason to be stubborn. So the Lord had to chide them. You see, the belief of the physical resurrection of our Lord become a stumbling block to many. I remember one unbelieving or disbelieving bishop. When he was ordained as a bishop, and this bishop openly said, I don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ in England. Suddenly the lightning struck at a church building. This is what I remember, according to a news report. The physical resurrection of our Lord is an important truth in the gospel. If you do not believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then you are not believing the gospel. You may be a churchman, a church leader, you may be a church member, you may be professing Christian, but according to the Bible, you do not believe in the gospel. If you do not believe in the gospel, you are not saved. Christ Jesus expects apostles to believe his word and witnesses. If the apostles have reservation about the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, do you think they will go out and tell others? If something I'm not sure, I will not tell you. Because I will not be able to face the challenges. If something that is very real, I will even die for it. Here we see that the apostles were just like us, very slow to believe the truth. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ got to chide them, oh fools, slow of heart to believe. When people tell us lie, we believe so fast, isn't it? That's why a lot of scammers, they give you a call, you never see the face, never examine his IC or so, they will transfer money to his account. But yet you come to church, we tell you the truth, and then, I think, this pastor is talking nonsense. That preacher is not telling something truthful. Isn't it? You will not commit so fast to the truth as you commit to the error of the day. And Christ Jesus was very patient with them. He rebuked them. The Lord was very concerned about their unbelief, so that He has to rebuke them for this sin. They were so indulged in their sadness. The death of Christ, that's it. So sad. That's the end of the story. That's the end of the work of Christ. But no, Christ rose again from the dead. He died for our sins, and God accepted His payment to redeem us. So the Lord, God the Father, caused our Lord Jesus Christ to rise from the dead. It's just like His rebuke for their unbelief before. Unbelief does not honor God. Unbelief empties the church. Unbelief empties the Bible school. Unbelief can overthrow a throne of someone who professed to know Christ, but yet he did not acknowledge the death and the resurrection of our Lord. When unbelief was popularized or being taught in the Bible school, that's how the churches are being infected with the virus of unbelief. In no time, maybe one generation, the church become empty. Then the church committee, we got to sell the church building. By hundreds in Europe, if not thousands. In England alone, 400 plus or more than that. You see, when we harbor unbelief in our hearts, actually we harbor destruction in our home, in ourselves, personal life. First of all, in my personal life, then second, my family, third, the whole community of faith. If the church there says, I don't believe in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I don't believe in the gospel, let's invent a new gospel for the 21st century. Then there's no hope for the church, for the community of faith. We have to stick to the so-called old-fashioned faith, the biblical faith. We suppose the apostles were men of great faith, we thought. But check the Bible carefully. Though the Lord has spoken to them many times, they persisted in their unbelief. They are just men like us. Very ordinary men. When you study the Bible, if you bother to take time to go through the Bible, you find that the Bible is full of imperfect saints. People who are supposed to know the good news better, who believe faster, but yet they are reluctant to accept the truth of Christ's resurrection. But nevertheless, the Lord did not give them up. The Lord assigned them. He said to them, go ye into all the world. Second point, the call to preach the gospel and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world, for God so loved the world. After rebuking them, Jesus gives them a command. This is the great commission. Go ye into all the world, not to do business, not to earn money, not to find gold and silver, but to reach for the precious soul and tell them the good news. The Lord expects His believers to be on the go. His commands relate to what we are to do as we go. So the emphasis is to preach the gospel. We are to go. God called Abraham, go. Go away from your hometown. Go to the land of which I promised you. Go. His command is that we are to preach the gospel, to preach the good news. What is the good news? That is, Jesus died and rose again. The apostle emphasized in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 to 4, in the midst of many unbelieving Greeks. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received. Okay? I deliver you verbatim. I do not change it. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Nothing new. It's old fashioned. And that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So to sum it up, the good news is the cross of Jesus Christ and the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. Today when you visit Jerusalem, you go to a garden tomb. You go inside. What is hanging at the door? He is not here. He has risen. Those who have been there would like to take a picture there. He is not here. He has risen. I remember vividly. I asked someone to take a picture for me. Some people say, oh, I found the bone of Jesus. That is nonsense. You found the bone of Jesus, yet you believe in resurrection of Jesus Christ. You find His bone means He's there. He has not risen. Then our hope is in vain. Then don't come here on Sunday morning. Let's go to dim sum and yam cha. Let's eat and drink. For tomorrow we shall die. Isn't it? That's the world. Isn't it? You talk about the church, few people come. You talk about World Cup, whoa! The beginning of World Cup, I heard the shouting at midnight. I thought my neighbor was involved in a fight. This cannot be a fight. I hear the sound, oh, he's shouting for their favorite team or whatever. They score. Wow, they shouted. Midnight, you're waken up by the shout. So excited, World Cup. But you talk about good news, nobody is interested. People live for now. You say, what is real is now. All this heaven cannot be trusted. This is what the world says. When the sinner believes in the good news of Christ, his sins are forgiven. He is counted as righteous in God's sight because of Christ's deed. His life is being transformed day by day, change. The change will come day by day. The Lord will work in you. The Lord will work in you just like He worked in the lives of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph. He'll work in you in different circumstances of life. The Lord will make you holy. The Lord will make you after the image of Christ. And this good news saves us from sin and despair and makes us alive forever. You see, in desperate time, during the COVID time, many people hang themselves. Doing business, you close shop, how to pay people for the goods, how to settle the bill, so they hang themselves in the shop, some lock the shop, and now one tea seller in Kuala Lumpur hang himself. One hang himself at the main road near the overhead bridge. Because they are in despair. But if we have Christ, we have hope. Because our hope is not hang on our goods. Our hope is not hang on our honor in this world. Our hope is in the Lord. We trust in the Lord and the Lord will work out His way to save us. The good news is that the power of evil and sin have been destroyed by the cross. And the power of death have been broken by the empty tomb. So we, even though we are quite fearful of death, but death has no power over us. Just like a dog barking at you, but later you observe the dog, his tooth have been removed. It's a toothless dog, very fierce, but cannot bite you anymore. The sting of sin has been removed. The Lord is alive and lives, and He lives and live through us. Of course, we see the sort of seeming death of Christian faith in a big part of the world, in the advanced countries. But we see the life of Christ through His believers in the not-so-advanced countries. Today, you see more Christians in the not-so-advanced countries, professed by many so-called foolish people. People who are not learned, people have no honor in the society, but yet they believe in Christ. The Lord lives through them. The Lord witnessed through them. And they champion for the gospel truth. They are not ashamed to profess Christ. They are not ashamed to rebuke unbelief or disbelief in their denomination.
They stood up for Christ,
even though people do not take heed to them. Such message is offensive to many. They oppose it. The Jews oppose it. The Jews say, oh, we know the Old Testament. The Orthodox Jews say, we know the Old Testament. We are saved by keeping the law. Oh, you are saved by circumcision. That's why the Jews are dead against Apostle Paul and his co-workers, wherever they go. And the modern people try to explain in a humanistic way. They say Jesus Christ is a nice teacher. He just gathered some followers and he preached about love. So you be loving to your neighbor, to be nice to everyone. Then you're following Jesus. That sounds very nice, but that is not the gospel. The gospel is that we are sinners. We cannot save ourselves by ourselves and by any methods, any approach, except Christ. He died for our sins and he paid to save us from the condemnation of sin. And he was buried and he rose again the third day because Christ's payment for our sin is being accepted by God the Father. So we cannot save ourselves. We contribute nothing. It hurts our pride. It humbles us. Why, you call me sinner or no? Nobody have taken me to police station before. I have not been charged in any human court before. It humbles us. The truth is that without the cross of Jesus and his resurrection, it is not Christian faith. It may sound very nice, well accepted, being honored in the society, but there is not Christian faith. It is vain hope. Can we be better without the good news of Jesus Christ? It is impossible. Since the fall of man, our ancestors tried to cover their sin. You see, our first ancestor, Adam and Eve, tried to cover with the fig leaves. But God found them. Not that after they had fallen into sin, they went to hide. But God found them and God made them clothing made of skin, probably of the lamb. What we need is not moral teaching, even though it may be good. We know what is good, but we are not able to do it. Just like you're asking the stroke patient to do exercise. They will shout at you. They even want to fight with you. Because to them, a little bit of movement sounds, it's very heavy for them. They are not able to do it like the normal people. What they need is spiritual transformation by believing in Christ, by united with Christ in our faith. We need an inner transformation that we will be good and we will do good willingly, not being forced by others. This is called salvation. You are being saved. So we need to take time to understand what the Bible says about salvation. In verse 16 says, just now we memorized the verse, he that believeth is baptized, and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And this is not teaching salvation is faith plus water baptism. Oh, you believe in Christ? Oh, no, not enough. You must receive baptism in our church, then you are saved. No, this is not what the verse teach, because you look at the second part of the verse, but he that believeth not shall be damned. You don't believe. If you believe, you will receive water baptism, right? Water baptism is an outward profession of the inner faith. You say, oh, this is something between me and God. Yes, it's between you and God, your faith. But what is the evidence? Any evidence? No evidence. Cannot be. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ says that the Holy Spirit works like a wind, you see. The wind blows through you, says movement in your hair, isn't it? The movement in your hair. If the wind is very great, then your hair is all over, especially those who wear long hair. But how come your hand never moved when you said there's wind? No movement at all. You see, if we truly believe, we will receive water baptism in due time to identify with the Lord. So, salvation is never faith plus water baptism. Salvation is always saved by grace through faith alone, faith in Christ alone. For some reason, someone who put his faith in Jesus Christ have no chance to get baptized. That will not cause you to lose your salvation. See, the Lord spoke to the dying criminal who had faith in him in the last moment in Luke 23. Today you shall be with me in paradise. No chance for baptism already. The sinner died without baptism, but he was saved. Jesus died to save sinners from the power and the condemnation of sin. We are lost in sin and doomed to eternal condemnation of the righteous God. We need Jesus to save us. We cannot save ourselves. No one can save us except Christ. We are like men drowning in the sea. We need someone to come along to save us. We need people to rescue us from drowning. Some of you might have remembered the story of the Titanic. Not everyone is safe. Some are left to float in the cold ocean. Quite a number die. Not everyone got a chance to get a lifeboat. Not everyone got a chance to be rescued by the nearby marine vessel. They just drown in the deep ocean. We need salvation. Unless we realize our desperate condition, we don't think we need salvation. We think life is every day the same. Monday to Saturday is the same. Then Sunday I enjoy my holiday or Saturday and Sunday. That's it. Year after year until our hair turn gray. Before long we cannot walk already. We need to be wheelchair. Before long we say bye-bye to the world. That's the life of many unbelievers or disbelievers. So sad. Let us look to Christ, cling to Him, beg Him to save us. And Christ called His servants, the apostles, to go out and preach the gospel. Tell them, God loves you and God sent His Son to die for you. Pay the price of sin to redeem you. And He rose again on the third day, so that if you are saved, your sins are forgiven, you are justified in the sight of God. You are reconciled to God. You have made peace to God. Let us make peace to God before we leave this world. We also do not know when we leave this world, isn't it? Don't delay. Be saved today. So the apostles went. How do people believe the power of resurrection? God gave the apostles sign gifts. Sign gifts shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. So the apostles cast out devils in the city of Philippi. And they shall speak in new tongues, there's a new languages. All the apostles are not international travelers. They know many languages or have gone to take any foreign language as a second language, any courses. But they were sent to other places to preach the gospel. And they speak, and on the day of Pentecost, they speak in new tongues, there is languages, okay? Languages, known languages, only understood by those who come back from overseas. They knew that is a sign gift to warn the Jews and to judge the Jews. Jews, listen. As I have spoken, the Lord has spoken through Prophet Isaiah. I speak to you in your mother tongue, Hebrew. You don't listen, right? One day I speak to you in a foreign language, because your ear of you will be dispersed. So the Jews, they should trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We thank God there are Jews who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ in many countries around the world. They have the Messianic, they call the Messianic Christian gathering. And they shall take up serpents. Okay, this is not a stuntman show, okay? They will draw a lot of crowd. No, if the serpents bite them, like the serpents attack Apostle Paul in one island in the book of Acts, so the native think, oh, he must be a bad man, because the serpent attacked him. That's their traditional belief. But later the Apostle Paul, he was not affected by the poison of the snake, so the native was very surprised. And they come to trust in the Lord. And if they drink any deadly thing, the pastor should not take the poison, put in the pulpit and start drinking. I think before the message finishes, the pastor will be ushered out. That's not the point. No, if someone put poison in your food, you took it, the Lord is able to save you. And this has happened to the missionary to the Dayak land, okay? A case in point, he went to the natives many years ago. So the natives, they don't believe. Of course, they got their medium also. Why should they let an intruder come to our region? That's my area. How dare you bring something new? So they serve the missionary food. So the missionary took it. And being, he did not know there are many eyes watching him above the roof. They really saw him, took it, he did not throw away. Then the next day he's okay. So they were very shocked. And many of them came to believe in the Lord. So brothers and sisters, these sign gifts are meant for the apostles. When Jerusalem was being destroyed, the temple was being destroyed, the sign gifts era come to an end. But some people say, they claim the sign gifts is meant for today. If that is true, it should be happen regularly. It's not once in a while. As you study through the Bible, you see Moses' time, Elijah, Elisha's time, the Lord Jesus and the apostles' time. These are the sign gifts era. To authenticate, to tell the apostles, don't be afraid, go out. If you meet opposition, you meet attack, I'll be with you. Don't worry. Because this is the foundation, the beginning era of the church. Just preach the gospel. So, for Christians, we are to preach the gospel. If you know the gospel is so good, why don't you tell it to others? If you know the gospel is real, why don't you tell it to your family members? Why don't you tell it to your colleagues? Why don't you tell it to your relatives? Let us go and preach the gospel. Jesus died for us, and he was buried, and he rose again. And the Lord will bless us, will bless our witness. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the call to preach the gospel. May thou help us to think of the depth and the width of the gospel, of thy love for lost souls. We pray that I may receive thy call with obedient heart and go out and witness for the gospel, so that people may come to know the living and true God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.